are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Brian Peacock here with you once again on a Wednesday. It is a winky Wednesday, so let's not waste any time. Let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nicholas Winkler, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, buddy. I mean, you know, I'm not exactly on the top of the world. You know, things were going great. The 49ers go out. They sign Jimmy Garoppolo and like, yeah, we got things. Things going the right direction. This is great. And then knucklehead Reuben Foster has to get in trouble again, man.
So much positive momentum, man.
I know.
It just deflated. We'll get into Reuben Foster stuff. We've got a great mailbag segment to go here and a particular question I think Nick's going to have some fun with. And I think that's about it for today's show. So we'll get some nice solid time to the mailbag. You can follow me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can follow Nick on Twitter at Bay Area Wink. Subscribe, rate, review the show, iTunes, Spotify, we're everywhere. Tell a friend about Locked On 49ers and head over to LockedOn49ers.com to get some written coverage. And also the streams of the podcast are over there at LockedOn49ers.com. So I've also obviously got a ton of questions about Reuben Foster, what to do with the linebacker position. But one of the questions is people are struggling with, and I'm struggling with myself, is how do you discipline Reuben Foster? Some people are like, he should be gone. Don't you think he should be cut? They cut Tremaine Brock. And then it's like, well, but, you know, what you got to do right by the young man and hope that the details of this thing say that it wasn't so bad and that you can work with him still and hopefully make Reuben Foster a better person. And then there's the football stuff on top of that, because, you know, it's not just all about football. It's about the individuals involved as well. So then there's a victim in this thing. So it's like, how do you even process this? And how do you feel about the whole thing? What do you think the 49ers should do here?
Yeah, I mean, you know me, I'm a middle linebacker kind of guy. And it's brutal for me to watch this happen, you know, because like you said, there's a victim in all of this. And if what we're reading is true, you know, that's not cool. There's nothing cool about what went on in this situation. But at the same time, you know, like you said, this is a young man who he's obviously in need of some help. You know, this is his fourth big problem that's happened since he even, you know, started the process into getting the NFL. And the last two have been in actual run-ins with the law, you know, and this last one with the domestic abuse, that's not, you don't mess around with that, you know? And if those allegations are true, then I gotta say, you probably got to cut the guy. I mean, you've set this precedent with Ray McDonald and, you know, and with Tremaine Brock and with Bruce Miller and, you know, all these problems that have been happening with the 49ers over the last handful of years. And, you know, they came in and said, we're going to straighten this thing out. We're going to right the ship. And if they don't do that and, you know, he is found guilty or, you know, they do find out something's wrong here, that just doesn't send the right message. You know, as a football fan, I want him to be on the team. Obviously he's a great football player. As a human being, I want him to get help if he needs it, you know, but at the same time, you know, if he abused a woman, man, that you just can't do that. You can't drag a woman by the hair, allegedly, you know, across the floor. Like you just can't do that. And, and this guy just seems, you can't drive around with pot in Alabama. Like he just keeps doing all these things that just keep getting him in trouble, which is why I call him the knucklehead. Cause it's like, come on, man, you know, just figure it out. You got all the talent in the world. You're going to make a ton of money. You're going to have a great career, but not if you just keep blowing it like this. So I like what the 49ers have done. I like that it wasn't an immediate cut with Brock. You do have to take it kind of case by case basis. And I think you just kind of delay it as long as possible, right? And you just kind of wait till you get all the information. Maybe you see if the NFL does something first and then you follow suit. I mean, it's a really tricky situation for the 49ers.
And when the Tremaine Brock release happened, they talked about it being, it wasn't a blanket situation. They're going to take each situation as it comes. And Brock wasn't their guy. You know, he wasn't a player and a person that they were attached to. So it's obviously a lot easier. Just like it's a lot easier for people who are not in the building to be like, oh, who's this guy? Cut him. But like they have a relationship. They know this guy. They have to go face to face with this guy and cut him and tell him that he's gone. And if they have to do it, then they have to do it. But I'm with you that they've got to get all the information. They got to wait, make the right decision. And there's no sense rushing it because he can't play football until September anyways. Right. So
yeah.
The games don't start for a very long time. They have time to go through this and as do the Los Gatos Police Department and the NFL, and they're all going to be investigating this thing. And so, and obviously the 49ers have more information than we have right now about the whole situation. And it'll be interesting to see what Reuben Foster says happened versus what his girlfriend said happened. And so, you know, who knows? It's got to take a long time to really even just get through all of that stuff and try to figure out what the deal is anyways. And then once you know, then make a decision based off of that.
Yeah. And, you know, say something is, you know, found to have happened. I do believe in second chances. However, if it did happen, you know, as a 49er, I don't think that second chance comes with the 49ers.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it could be a suspension versus like, do you just, you know, if he's suspended, can you even cut a guy who's suspended? I don't even know how that works.
Yeah, because then if he gets picked up, does the suspension follow him? Yeah, I don't know.
That's it definitely would question. Follow him if he's suspended from the league.
But if he's suspended and say he misses three games or something, like, does that count as three games of suspension, or does it start up when he gets signed by a team?
That's a good question. I think it's just you're just suspended. So there's been players that were hurt and weren't going to play anyway, but they were suspended, and the suspension just happens. It's just like whatever the next games are, you can't play those six. And if you were hurt anyways or you weren't signed, it doesn't matter. As far as I know, that's the way it goes. But and he's gonna get suspended by the league. When you add these two situations together.
Yeah. He was probably going to get suspended from the first thing, you know, with marijuana in Alabama.
That's possible.
He got arrested, you know?
So basically the 49ers are working under the assumption that they're not going to have Reuben Foster probably for something like around six games next year. And that's if they have him at all. Maybe it turns out they do have to cut this guy.
Oh, it's painful to hear.
It's painful to hear. It's like, you just want to shake him, right? Like, Reuben, what are you doing, dude?
What if you talk to the guy, too? I mean, he's the nicest guy in the world. He lights up a room. I mean,
what's weird. God. Like, there's obviously, to me, it seems like, and there was that thing at the combine where, you know, it's obviously a switch with him where, and you see it on the football field. There's a switch where he will crush people. So it's like, is it like an anger management thing? And then you just have the gun on top of it. What are you doing with an AK in your apartment, man? Like, that's
just a lot of people got to feel like they got to protect theirs, you know, and this sort of thing. I have a lot of friends that own weapons. They're legal, you know, like he didn't know that he had to re-register it. You know, the knucklehead that he is.
It's just crazy. It's like an AK, like what, like Los Gatos, the rough streets of Los Gatos, California. You know what I mean? But there was that incident where someone tried to jack him outside of a club in San Francisco. So it's like, maybe
that's when he's like, I need to have this. I need to bring it with me.
I'm on the West Coast. You know, this is it's like, I don't know. But
you know me, I'm a Foster guy, man. This hurts.
Right. So you hope for the best here and get all the information you can, make the right choice. And if he's got to go, he's got to go. And that's the way it's going to be. And it's on one hand, we are talking about all the positive momentum with the Garoppolo stuff. But it's still sort of a looming, like a blanket, like a nice warm blanket around the Reuben Foster situation, I think, for fans, because it's like, well, maybe you don't have a star linebacker, but you still got a quarterback, and that's more important. You know what I mean? You still
it's
got
true.
That.
It is more important.
So it's not all bad for the 49ers right now, and hopefully more good news comes out with Reuben Foster's situation. But right now it doesn't look good. And really, it's just, even if he skates through this somehow magically, it's the pattern of just being a dumbass. It's like, are you just that? Are you either that, like, when it comes to drugs, you know, we've talked about this before, who cares? You smoke a pot. Like, I don't care at all. But
know the laws. I mean, come on.
And don't get caught doing it. So are you just stupid by getting caught doing these dumbass things? Or are you like crazy hooked and there's other drug problems he's got and that's something to look out for down the road? Or just the anger management issues? Is he always going to have problems with people in public or in private in his home? Or, you know, because he can't, he's just got some weird anger management thing that he'll just switch and snap at any moment? Like, is this something he's wired that way? Even if he skates through this, you still are going to be worried for a while until he puts together a couple years of just straight-laced living, basically.
But even then, like, you've seen it. So, you know, like, okay, he's going through the program. He's got the anger management thing under control. He's walking a good line. And then, you know, then something happens. You know, all of a sudden a doctor won't let him into a room, or, you know, somebody looks at him the wrong way in a club. Like, it's frightening for sure.
And then if he does have some severe like anger management issues and he's strapped, you know, that's a bad combination as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's that whole new law that might pass as well, too, where you can get a concealed weapon in one state and, like, carry it to another state. And, yeah, I mean, man, that's We're scaring ourselves a lot more here the more we talk about it. Maybe we should move on.
Most people are like, oh, well, they're trying to come up with things that would be like, well, what if he just did this and it'd be a lot better? We're, like, going the other direction. What if he just what if he just opened up fire on Levi's Stadium?
What if it's, like, the last Boy Scout, you know?
Oh, God, Ruben. We laugh, but inside we're crying.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man.
All right. So, Ruben, come on, man. Straighten up. I know you listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
We're all adults here.
I called you a knucklehead out of love.
Right. It's out of love. This is all out of love. Winkler with his filthy mouth.
I can't believe it. That's me. I can't, man. It ruined my day when I saw the headline.
Serious. Oh. I know. Yeah. You know what I said?
Wow.
That was a way too excited wow, though.
All right, let's get to the mailbag, man. Enough about this bad news. I've started out three shows in a row now with bad news, Ruben Foster stuff, and it's more fun to talk about some other things. So that situation.
Are we gonna ditch all the Ruben Foster and like middle linebacker questions too? Then.
Well, no, I'm trying to kind of skate through those.
Right.
It's definitely more of an option. I will say that as far as middle linebackers go, and they needed a player probably there. And there's a couple guys, Tremaine Edwards and Roquan Smith. Those are the names you're going to hear. And if they're worth taking in the top 10, then they're worth taking in the top 10 anyways. And so, you know, if they're the best player on the board, you go for it. But I don't go out of my way to draft somebody who might not be the best player just because of the Ruben Foster situation. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I think you're looking at it right.
Okay, here we go. It's time for the mailbag. Let's start with Jason. He said the Chiefs aren't planning to bring Derek Johnson back. What do you think of bringing him on a 2-year deal as a Foster backup plan and mentor?
Yeah, well, why not? And he's a great player.
Yeah, fantastic player. I mean, he's a little long in the tooth, obviously. So,
right.
But man, he's been so good for so long. I just wonder what he's got left. If they're finally moving on from him, maybe he's done.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be worth maybe having a workout. Because he was like a really good coverage linebacker, like just one of those super athletic linebackers. And it's amazing that he's been through, I think he had a couple of, what was it, Achilles injuries that he
Is
came
that
back
was?
From and still played so well for so long. I mean, it's hard because you see all these names and you're like, oh, that guy's awesome. I know that name, but this isn't, 2010 anymore. So
yeah, you're right.
But yeah, bring him in as a starting caliber type of player, hopefully, if he's still got that skill. And a mentor. I love the idea of having a mentor for Ruben Foster. Mm-hmm. And, Bowman wasn't around for very long to do that. Ken Norton Jr., that lasted like one day, right?
It was a great idea on paper.
So I think having a mentor is an absolutely great plan for Ruben Foster.
They need to get Patrick Willis in the building. What the hell?
That would be awesome. Yeah, get Patrick Willis in the building.
Come on, man. Even if it's just there for a little bit, during... I don't know anything, any one of these practices, get him in there, get him working with him. Just have him sit down with him, have some dinner. Talk to him. Hey, look, this is how you do it. This is how I live my life. Was I in any trouble? No.
Right. Exactly.
Man.
All right.
I'm bitter. I'm still bitter.
Couple of Southern boys. Get him together.
We tried to get away from it.
It's always going to come back to that, man.
Lasted 15 seconds.
Yeah. Here's a question that I wanted to get to you last week. We didn't get to it. This is from Sean via Twitter. He said, overrated, underrated, feeling old in your late 30s, watching 49ers with your 5- and 7-year-old girls, 99% of pro athletes are younger. I feel tired and sore, but it's from sleeping.
Yeah, no, I feel you, buddy. I got the 4- and 1-year-old. And yeah, as I'm watching, I'm like 28, huh? Yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, a rookie at 23. Hey, I remember those days. And yeah, I get tired just, chasing my kids around. Actually, did I mention on the podcast when I got my stress fracture in my foot just from playing with my kids? So yeah, I feel your pain, buddy.
Oh, that's awesome. The thing that always gets me with athletes now is when they're retiring and they're younger than me.
Yeah. They're like, I'm done. It's been a great career.
Like,
I'm going to hang them up on top.
They start talking about running backs. Oh, he's 29. He's getting a little old. It's like, what are you talking about? He's 29. It's insane.
I got plenty of juice left.
So for me, that's why it's like, dude, Tom Brady, play forever.
Yeah. I'm rooting for you, buddy.
Yeah, any players that are around that are still older than me, just keep going forever. Yeah, and please
Drew
don't
Brees,
ever stop
keep
playing.
Doing it, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Bartolo Colon, what is he, like 45 now? Dude, go till you're 60. I don't care. Keep going, man.
I love it. That's why I just sometimes will watch like the Champions Tour golf just so I feel like, yeah, look, younger than these guys.
Chichi Rodriguez. Is he still alive?
I think so. Didn't he used to have a Nintendo game? Oh, no, that was Lee Trevino.
Oh, right. Lee Trevino. Yeah, from the commercials. Chichi Rodriguez. I'm going to look that up.
Lee Trevino's Fighting Golf. I believe that was the
Fighting
name
Golf?
I believe it was. Even though you didn't actually fight, I think it was called Lee Trevino's Fighting Golf. I could look it up, but I'm 100% on this.
Chichi Rodriguez, 82 years old, still kicking.
That a boy.
Good on you. Real name, Juan Antonio Rodriguez.
I like Chichi.
Yeah, I do too. All right, Lee Trevino. Let's look that one up. What was
it
called?
The Nintendo game?
Lee Trevino Nintendo. Is it old school NES?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lee Trevino Golf Nintendo. Okay. Yeah, I think you're... Oh, whoa. I do not remember this. Why was it Fighting Golf?
I don't know, but I had that game and I loved it.
Yeah. Initial release, 1998.
Wow, that's late for the Nintendo.
There we go.
Damn, are you taking me back right now?
Serious graphics on this. All right, it's a little Lee Trevino golf for you.
And I'm back right out of high school. There we go.
That's awesome. All right, where are we at?
I feel old here. We're just talking about feeling old, man.
I'm going to go to Kevin on email real quick because I couldn't find a Jaleel Scott comparison when I was talking about some draft prospects. And he's about a 6'5", 6'4", 6'5", 210-pound, kind of skinny, linear, tall, basketball-buildy wide receiver. And I was trying to think of a good comparison for him, and I couldn't come up with one. Kevin Watts threw out Randy Moss. And I would say body type, yeah, he's got that build. But, I mean... Jaleel Scott's not going to run a 4.2 or whatever crazy 40 time Randy Moss ran, even 4.3. I don't think Jaleel Scott's that guy. He's more of a 4.5 guy. So
would Alshon Jeffrey be a little too big?
Alshon's a little more like well built and just smoother as an athlete because Alshon's not fast, but he gets open. He's just got a smooth ability about him, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't see that in Jaleel Scott, but it's like that's what you want is that. That big-bodied receiver who's also, I don't know what the word is, just like body control, right? He's got that body control, can go up and get the ball at different angles, can move, is quick to get in and out of breaks, but not necessarily fast.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of what you're looking for. And I'm not sure if Jaleel Scott's necessarily that guy as far as ball skills, but he can sky and go get the ball and jump all situations, but just not as well-rounded.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see, where are we at here? I lost my place on my, back to Twitter. This is from Jay, and he says, sorry for the long question. That is not that long of a question. Love the show. Atlanta resident. Shout out to all my people in the ATL. As long as you're not doing the dirty bird, you're cool with me. We all want JG to be Tom Brady or better. After watching Tom versus Time and seeing what it takes to be him and then hearing Jimmy Garoppolo say he likes to take time away from football after the season, I thought, no way Tom Brady would ever say that. Do you think it takes Tom Brady-level dedication to be that great?
Tom Brady takes time away, man. Who didn't see that picture of him, you know, bathing without any clothes on in Italy a couple years ago? I mean, come on. The guy takes his time away. Everybody's got to get away for a little bit. No, Jimmy G, man, I like it. Sometimes you just got to reset, refresh, and then you come back and you're strong and you're ready to go.
I will say that there's something to like that almost maniacal need to be great at something and to work at it so much that it encompasses your whole life and you can't even be like a normal person because of that. And I can see Tom Brady having a little bit of that, and we'll see if Jimmy Garoppolo is that type of guy. But I think of like Tom Brady, is he actually a fun person to be around? Does he have an actual life outside of football? You know, besides going and taking photos on the beach and being away, is he actually mentally away from it? You know, I think of a guy like Barry Bonds. Like, does Barry Bonds have any friends in the world? Does Michael Jordan have friends? Like, I've never even heard of him hanging out with anybody. I don't know if he's ever had a good time in his life, except for times when he's hoisting a trophy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what they live for. That's the one thing in their life that fulfills them.
They're almost broken at a point, you know? And so you almost hope that he's not that extreme, except for the point that that's what makes someone insanely great, too.
Well, and that's just it. Like, I'm not expecting Jimmy Garoppolo to be insanely great or be the greatest. I want him to be good. You know, I want him to be a good NFL quarterback. I want him to win. I want him to want to win. And you could see that he does. You know, he went in there. And I love the thing, too. I don't know if you heard, I'm sure you did, part of his press conference. He's like, I haven't even seen the whole playbook yet. It's like, wow. Okay. I can't wait for that day.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Let me ask you this, and I'll ask this to the listeners at the same time. If, because Jimmy Garoppolo's in sort of an unfavorable position because he's going to always have that Tom Brady comparison going on.
Right.
And then he comes to the 49ers. Now he's got to compete with Joe Montana and Steve Young.
A whole bunch of tough shoes to fill.
Right. If Jimmy Garoppolo is never, you know, in the long-term conversation as good or thought of to be as great of a quarterback as either Joe Montana or Tom Brady, does that make him, you know, a bust or someone that you don't want around?
No way. I mean, imagine if he's in the conversation with Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers or these guys that have won one championship. Like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, in it every year.
Yeah, exactly. No, as long as he's in there and he's competitive and he's not the reason that the 49ers are losing and they can actually win something, then that's all you could ask for.
Totally agrees. The way I go about Jimmy Garoppolo and the way that I think most people should is treat Jimmy Garoppolo as Jimmy Garoppolo. He's not Joe Montana. He's not Tom Brady. He's his own guy. Let's enjoy the ride right now.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Let's move on to Bring Back the Zodiac. On Twitter, he asks, I know you're high on Chubb as I am. Is there a scenario where you see Lynch actually trading up to get him? Maybe if he falls past both the Browns picks with a good pass rush, we may not have to go after Tremaine Johnson or Malcolm Butler on the back end. Hashtag locked on 49ers. Hashtag mailbag. Thanks for the question. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say before this Reuben Foster stuff, it was probably more likely that they'd be willing to give up some picks to move up. But if this is just another need that they're going to be looking at in the draft, I don't see them trading up.
I think a lot depends on free agency.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's say they're not able to add the pass rusher that they hope in free agency, but they are able to add a corner. He's talking about if they get a good pass rush, they maybe don't need Tremaine Johnson. I think it's the opposite. If they get a Tremaine Johnson or Malcolm Butler, that gives them the opportunity to go attack other needs in the draft.
Right.
So if they wipe out some needs in free agency, feel good about your offensive line, feel good about the cornerback position, then you're sitting there on draft day and Chubb falls to within, you know, three picks of you, and you're sitting there thinking, this is the guy we need and this is the guy we want. Top of the board, fits the positional need we want. Let's go get him. And maybe it doesn't cost a ton to move up at that point, but he would have to get close enough to where it's not a huge cost. Don't want to go into future first round picks or anything like that. And some of the other needs would have to be addressed in free agency first.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, just like you, I'm sure you're very excited for free agency. I'm very excited. Actually, today I looked it up and I put it in my calendar. So for those of you who haven't done this yet, take time right now, March 14th, 4 p.m. Eastern time. That is when NFL free agency kicks off.
Which means there's like the legal tampering period. Is that one day or is that like multiple days? I can't remember.
That's a good question, man. Legal tampering. What does that even mean?
I don't know. I mean, seriously. Let's see. Hold on. Let me look up legal tampering. Because I think last year was the first year they had that, right?
Or
maybe a couple
ridiculous.
Years ago. Legal tampering window. Let's see. Noon Eastern on Tuesday, there's a 2-day period. So 2 days before that.
Wow.
Okay. 2-day legal tampering period. So that's when, you know, because they used to tamper anyways, because at exactly whatever it was, a 1 p.m. Pacific time, all these contracts would announce. Be like, okay.
That was quick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So legal tampering, that's when the magic's going to happen for the 49ers. Set that one.
That could be, if they you know, kill free agency and just, you know, get all these great guys, that'll be the name of the video this year.
Well, you are amazing. That is a perfect segue. That's going to lead us to our last question here.
Oh,
all
right.
The mailbag segment. This is from Brett via email. He says, Pearl Jam, question for you and Wink.
Woo! Yeah.
I knew you'd like this one. He says, I know Wink is a Pearl Jam guy. Don't know if, quote unquote, aggressively prudent can be beaten. But what Pearl Jam song could become the title of the 2018 49ers video yearbook?
Oh, wow. So I could be okay.
I've got some. Do you want to hear one of mine first?
Sure.
I've got two. I'm going to start with, and really for Pearl Jam, for me, it was the first two albums.
Mm-hmm.
And it, which is also amazing that they named their first album after Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, 10, of course.
Right, 10. So a Mookie song from,
Blaylock, come on.
Speaking of Jimmy G, a song from 10 called Even Flow. And I use that because it's like, this guy's so calm. He's so cool. And then when I went to look at the lyrics, and I hadn't heard these songs in a long time, so it was kind of fun to hear these. But so chorus number two in Even Flow. Even flow, thoughts arrive like butterflies. Oh, he don't know, so he chases them away. That's him in the huddle. He's like, hey, guys, listen up. Let's focus here. I know this is the fourth quarter, but we're going to drive down the field and win a football game, right? Doesn't that?
He can't help when he's happy. He looks insane.
Then someday yet, he'll begin his life again. Whispering paths gently lead him away. That's all talking nice. About the trade, right?
Yeah, that's good.
That sounds like the trade. And then after that, him away. Woo. Oh, yeah. Fuck it up. So then that's him taking over the game.
That's pretty perfect.
Yeah.
That'd be hard to top. I mean, you could just go with alive because you know that 49ers are still alive. Everybody wrote them off for dead, you know, before last season. And then after the great start to the 2017 season. I got it. Yeah, you're more of an early guy. So you don't probably know their later stuff. So Backspacer, there's actually a song called Johnny Guitar.
How does it go? Can you sing it for me?
That might be a little bit tricky. You know what? Or The Fixer. I think those two are back to back. Let me check on that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, The Fixer. There you go.
I like that one a lot.
And that's not even just for Garoppolo. I think that's more for like Shanahan and Lynch.
Okay. Oh, no. Yeah, I can see that. Here we go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that was the first single off that album.
What year are we talking here?
What is that?
2009? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one right there.
All right.
I mean, we could do Release, you know? I mean, there's so many we could really get into.
Oh, are you talking about Reuben Foster?
Yeah. Release! Release him!
I got one more for you.
All right.
Glorified G.
Oh, yeah, glorified version of a pellet gun.
Right.
Feels so manly when armed.
Uh-huh.
That's good, man.
We're talking guns.
Yeah, that's great. Holy moly.
Some solid ones there.
Yeah. I mean, we could probably pick at least one from each album if we really take our time here.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's true. What was the elderly woman behind a counter or something like that?
In a small town, yeah. The longest title in the Pearl Jam catalog.
Longest title that makes no sense when you relate it to the 49ers, unfortunately.
No, unfortunately, that would be a stretch. Gonna work. State of Love and Trust. I mean, that's how I always am with the 49ers.
Yeah, that's a good one. That was intro music for, was it Matt Barrows? Isn't that how we introduced him before?
I think it was, yeah. Well, we asked him which one he wanted. I think that's what he picked.
Wait, what album is that from? Is that like pre?
It's not actually on an album.
Okay. Was that like Temple of the Dog?
Well, no, it is on an album. It's on the singles soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the singles soundtrack. Oh, my God. Yeah. Dude, so one of my buddies was on tour in Seattle area, and he had friends and mutual friends, and they ended up hanging out with some of the guys from the band Mudhoney, who's also on the singles soundtrack. And they were hanging out at one of the dude's house,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, oh, man, this is a rad house right in Seattle. And he's like, dude, get one of your songs on a soundtrack. It paid for this house. So the single soundtrack paid for that house. And I think of it and I was like, man, that soundtrack, that was like the biggest soundtrack I can remember back in the early 90s. Like, I think it was.
Oh, no doubt. It was the first one I bought.
Yeah. I was in junior high, was something like that when that
it
came
had
out.
Two it Pearl like, Jam songs on it. That's why.
Yeah. A little Temple
and
of Dogs.
Pearl Jam, well, two of them were in Citizen Dick, you know, the band from the movie.
That's right. Good call. There's a bunch of bands that got huge after that. Alice in Chains was on that, I think. And that was way before they got popular.
I think Soundgarden was in that movie, too.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. It's a good movie. It's been a long time since I've seen that.
Yeah, man. That's not one of those movies that's on TV all the time, either.
No. I think I saw that in the theaters. I was way too young.
Here we go.
There you go. Oh, is Barrow's coming up? I didn't know we were splitting the time tonight.
Anyways, I'm out of questions, but we can just hang out and listen to
Better Man too. I mean, there's so many.
Oh, Better Man, that's a good one. Who would that be about, though? Would that be the?
I know, right?
Would that be about Reuben Foster becoming a better man?
Or is it like we need him because we can't really find a better man?
Hmm, that's good. The podcast is over, basically, everybody. So if you want to go, but we're just
this is
listening
the end music tonight.
And I think I'll probably get sued for this too. I don't know if I should even be.
No, as long as you don't sell it, I think you're all right.
Yeah.
Mind your manners. That could be for Reuben Foster. Ooh, do the evolution, just the evolution of the new 49ers.
Oh, I like that. Keep it going, man.
I know. I'm just, what else? Let me actually start pulling up albums here and I can look at some. Great song, man. Whew. Given to Fly.
That
was Reuben Foster when he was in Alabama.
Okay.
It was about a guy getting stoned.
This is one of their better songs. It's not even on an album. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Or one of my favorite songs.
I mean, it's just like Yellow Ledbetter. That's not on one either. It's one of their best.
I guess they probably threw those on. There's a greatest hits out there, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a couple. You can get like the Essentials or the Rearview Mirror greatest hits. If you really want to get the legit Yellow Ledbetter, you go to the Jeremy B side.
Oh, really?
That's where it was.
Is it a different version or just that was the OG?
The original. Okay. The version. Yeah. Pretty sure it was Jeremy. Maybe it was Alive. Damn it. Now I have to check. It's been a few years since that one came out.
All right. I don't want to get sued. I got a.
All right. Yeah. I think we've talked Pearl Jam enough. We've lost everybody already.
Enough Pearl Jam. I guess enough 49ers for today. By the way, a little teaser for tomorrow's show. Going to have Eric Crocker joining me here. He is a former NFL and AFL player, and he specializes in defensive backs. So we're going to talk free agent and draft cornerbacks in particular. And so that's going to be a fun episode on Thursday.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Nick.
My pleasure.
Nice reminiscing about some old Pearl Jam songs that I haven't heard in a very long time.
Anytime.
And thanks to all the listeners who chimed in with mailbag questions. You can keep those coming. Hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock. You can find Nick at Bay Area Wink or email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Be back tomorrow talking cornerbacks with Eric Crocker right here on Locked On 49ers.
See you.